everyone.
Hi.
I'm Ezra.
And I'm Charlie.
Welcome back to the Young Pyromancers podcast. This is episode 2. Today's main topic, 25 under 25. Unsung budget heroes.
Yeah, so in today's episodes, we're going to be focusing on cheap cards, specifically 25 cards, that all can be bought for under 25 cents.
Yeah, again, we need lots of cheap cards to keep under budget. So we just hope that this will give you a big jump start into building your budget collection and playing powerfully and not expensively.
So first off, we're going to start about some new horizons in Magic, or some new cards that are going to be coming out here.
This is what's happening in the news for Magic, what's coming up, and what is on the horizon, I guess. First off, we've got the Challenger decks. These look really cool. There's a Simic Flash deck, the Mono Red Aggro deck.
It is a Jeskai Fires deck, and there's Golgari.
Golgari Adventure, yeah.
Yes. So, all the decks are, they're not your average sort of just, like, Planeswalker deck. You'd see that, Jeskai Fires and Simic Flash are both, strong decks in Standard.
Well, it's not the same Jeskai Fires. The Jeskai Fires Standard build is with the Cavaliers. Planeswalkers.
Yeah, nonetheless, they're still strong decks, and it's cool to see to see WotC giving us some more popular and more played decks in Standard.
Yeah, it seems fun. This is like what you... Oh, I don't have a deck at FNM, so you just pick this up behind the counter, and then you can go play, and you'll do fine.
Yeah, you're not quite going to compete necessarily with the complete
right. You're not
going to tier one decks
win the tournament. You need to upgrade these decks. But if you upgrade these decks, right now the mono red aggro, it just needs three more Ember Cleaves in its tier.
You're not going to beat Paolo Vito or Domino Rosa's Azorius Control, but
no one's gonna beat PVDDO's Azorius Control deck.
I guess that's why I won. So secondly, come along, we have Jumpstart.
I'm pretty excited for this. This is thematically tied to M21, and the idea is that you're just pulling two booster boxes. Sorry, not booster boxes, booster packs, and you just take two of them, unwrap them, shuffle them together, and then you have a deck and you play with them. Which seems so cool, because it's like the randomness. I think they've been testing this water more with stuff like Mystery Booster.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. There's a lot of cool reprints, too, and so there's 20 cards in each pack, and it's just a kind of new, interesting way to play Magic we'll see how it goes.
They say there's like 500 reprints.
Yeah, that's a lot, so it'll be exciting to see what those are as time goes along here.
Right, in the Mystery Booster, we got stuff like Rhystic Study and Bloom Tender, Teferi's Protection.
It was either Mana Crypt or Mana Vault, too. That's pretty momentous for Commander players.
Yeah, no, it was Mana Crypt they reprinted.
Yeah.
But those were also in the original card border, and those were a disaster for vendors because now people are complaining that they're being sent the Mystery Booster printing instead of the actual printing.
Hmm. That is an interesting situation happening.
Because this is new set symbol and new printing, you also get the new border on the legends and stuff.
So there is a new secret lair drop coming out for International Women's Day. So this new secret lair drop is going to have 5 new art for cards, and those cards are going to be Saskia, the Unyielding.
Yeah, Saskia. There's Sissei, Marin, and Narset. Oh, and Una.
Yeah, so all of these are fairly highly used commanders. And so it'll be fun for users of these commanders to have new access to art. And they look pretty cool, actually. They have nice borders, and of course it's a secret lair drop. So it's kind of an exclusive thing that if you can get your hands on, it's pretty cool.
So March 8th is the release. I just had to look that up really quick. Oh, and then there's the new product that's coming out. I don't exactly know when this is getting released. Our schedule's kind of weird, but Unsanctioned, the new Unproduct. It's a boxed set. and it comes with 5 monocolored decks. So you shuffle 2 of them together, and then it makes a 2-color deck. And then you play with it, and it's unreprints along with some new codes.
So unsets are just very fun groups of cards that you can play with. And this set, it's a little different than other sets, than other previous unsets, in that you just take, there's 5 decks, and you choose 2 of the decks, and you just play with them. And it's fun right out of the box, and there's a lot of cool new interactions and crazy shenanigans that you'd expect from an unset.
These are also, but they're not tournament legal, and they're not constructed legal, because they're unsets are, they're kind of like a joke of Magic. They're like joke cards. They're to make people laugh. It builds fun experiences, but you can't play them competitively. They're purposely designed with high variance so that you get the wild, random, arbitrary gameplay that you're looking for.
Yeah, so those are just pretty cool new things happening in Magic nowadays, and some things to look forward to in the near future. So why don't we get into it and start talking about some cards?
Yeah, let's go into our main topic. Our main topic is 25 under 25. We're going to try to go over these reasonably quick.
We'll try our best. We'll see how it
is. Yeah, we'll see.
So, do you want to start with the strongest color, white?
Yeah, of course. No, that was a joke. White is, in Commander, it's considered the least powerful color because it doesn't have ramp and it doesn't have card draw, which are the two pillars of the format, like we like to say.
Yeah, so in our cards we chose, we kind of focused on ways for white to catch up or level the playing field. So the first card we have here is Ravnica at War. So Ravnica at War is a 3 and a white for sorcery, and it says exile all multicolored permanents. So in a deck such as a mono white deck, it's really hard to do a lot of like powerful things like draw cards and ramp a lot. And so Ravnica at War is just a way to come back and make your way back from the multicolored decks that are just doing a lot of things, like using green to ramp and using blue to draw cards and a lot of powerful things that you can't necessarily keep up with. And Ravnica at War is just a way to level the playing field, in a sense.
Yeah, in mono white, this is super good because you're not going to be destroying anything of your own because you're playing one color only. So you're just you're exiling a lot of your opponent's key pieces.
Yeah, so exile all multicolored permanents your opponent's control is very strong, especially for only 4 mana in 1 white. So it's not a very restrictive
cost. Yeah, if you're in monocolored, it basically says exile all multicolored permanents you don't control.
Yeah, so just a very strong card in a few decks. So you want to talk about our other white card here, Ezra?
Yeah, other white card is Fortunate Few. 3 white-white. It's a sorcery. Choose a non-land permanent you don't control. Then each other player chooses a non-land permanent they don't control that hasn't been chosen this way. Destroy all other non-land permanents. So it's kind of complicated, but this is how to summarize it is, I choose a non-land permanent that I don't control, then everyone else does too, and then everything else gets destroyed.
Yeah, so all the other it essentially reads, well, although there is some politicking that can be done with this, most of the time, chances are this card is going to say, choose the 4 worst non-land permanents on the battlefield.
Like, everyone keeps their worst non-land
permanent, and then destroy all other non-land permanents. So for 5 mana, destroying all non-land permanents is not too shabby in white, especially with white having 4 mana is kind of like creatures, like Wrath of God, focus on creatures, but all non-land permanents is another way to kind of slow people down who are ramping with artifacts or that kind of, or creatures or that kind of thing.
Okay, let's move into blue. Profaner of the Dead is our first blue card. We're doing 2 of each monocolor. Profaner of the Dead is 3 and a blue. For 3/3, it's a creature, Naga Wizard. It has exploit, which means when this creature enters the battlefield, you may sacrifice a creature. When Profaner of the Dead exploits a creature, return to their owner's hands all creatures your opponents control with toughness less than the exploited creature's toughness. So yeah, when this enters, you sack a creature, and then everything that has toughness less and it gets bounced.
Yeah, so this is just a pretty pretty strong card in blue. Blue typically does, one of its weaknesses is not being able to wipe the board and get rid of a lot of things at once. So, or the ability to have a creature and get rid of everything else is very strong without having to buy super expensive cards such as Cyclonic Rift or something of the sort.
Yeah, most blue board wipes are getting pretty expensive. I guess this one's just flown under the radar. The only downside is you have to nuke one of your own creatures.
Yeah, but I mean even fine. Sacrificing one of your own creatures can be an advantage in some decks where you're trying to sacrifice your creatures for recur value, like Mel'Drotha.
So if you're in, like, blue-black or blue-green, or not blue-green, if you're in, like, blue-black or Sultai, yeah, then this is definitely a really good card.
Yeah, so our other card here is Deep Fathom Skulker. Deep Fathom Skulker is 5 and a blue for a creature. It's an Eldrazi. It has Devoid, which means it has no color, and it's a 4/4 that says, whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, you may draw a card. And it also says, 3 and a colorless mana, target creature can't be blocked this turn. So this is a really strong card, and very interesting, really, because one of the things that blue does not do is put a lot of power onto the board and swing with a lot of creatures. That's typically a thing that white does more or green does more. But Deep Fathom Skulker having this ability is very interesting because it can allow blue to draw cards and put creatures onto the battlefield in a way that is typically unheard of. So it's kind of a new kind of possible outlet for blue to play.
Yeah, the other cards that do this, those like Bind of Thassa does it, and I guess Edric does this, sort of. There's another card
There's some green cards that do it. One of them was actually recently printed in...
Thorn of Eldraine, Keeper of Fables?
No, it was in a Commander set. It was like a snake and was in the...
Oh, Orin Frostfang.
Yeah. Yeah, so Orin Frostfang is that card, so it has that same ability, but in green rather than blue. So just having that kind of outlet in blue is really interesting, just as a card. And having a 4/4 Devoid and having that ability to make creatures unblockable can be relevant. So it's pretty interesting. It can be good in a deck like Sig. Is it Cutthroat? River Cutthroat? Yeah. So where you're trying to damage opponents can be an interesting card because you can make your opponents lose life and draw some cards on top of just drawing cards with your own combat damage triggers from the Skulker itself.
Mm-hmm. Next, we've got Fraying Omnipotence, which is an M19 sorcery. It's 3 black-black. Each player loses half of their life, then discards half of the cards in their hand, then sacrifices half the creatures they control. So half their life, discard half the cards, sacrifice half the creatures. Everybody.
Yeah, so this can be really good if you can, like, get this card out really early. So if you can, like, Dark Ritual and do some ramping or something, then in black you can just, like, turn 1, 2, or 3 and you can get this card out, and you can make your opponents discard up to, like, 4 cards and lose a lot of life, which can be really good because one of black's strong suits is kind of getting ahead on cards and making everyone discard and staying ahead with, like, cards that might, like, Liliana of the Veil and making everyone discard, but it not affecting you, allowing you to stay ahead.
Liliana of the Veil is, like, 1,000 times the amount of this card. I don't know if that's the real number. I just made that up.
Omnipotence can act as a sort of equalizer for everyone and can kind of counter some strategies, like token strategies, can make them sacrifice a lot of creatures, that kind of thing.
And it's a 20-cent card. It's, like, it's so cheap. Just, like,
yeah, if you're playing,
instead of getting a gumball, it's a gumball.
You want this 3 black-black sorcery-shaped gumball?
Yes, I do. I would like that very much. Stick my quarter in the machine. Comes out with a rolled-up Fraying Omnipotence.
Spherical Omnipotence.
Oh, that's amazing.
All right, so okay. Our other card here
I'm gonna
is.
Butcher this name
Yeah, you
so
got this.
bad.
I'm gonna let you do that.
Thisis. Phthisis.
Thisis.
Thisis.
Yeah.
Phthisis. 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 There we go.
Phthisis.
This is a weird card.
Alright,
it's three black. So three and then four black pips. So seven mana total. Destroy target creature. It's a sorcery. Its controller loses life equal to its power plus its toughness. But it also has suspend 5 for 1 and a black. So you exile it with 5 time counters on it. And then during your upkeep, you remove a time counter. And then when the last time counter is removed, you can cast it for free.
So this is a really interesting card. Because not only is it strong in late game when you have 7 mana, you can commit 7 mana to this and make your opponent not only lose one of their big creatures, but lose, you know, if it's big enough, from like 15 to, you know, 26 life if they're playing some bigger creatures. So yeah, it's strong as a normal card, but the suspendability is really interesting because it kind of allows you to politic a lot and kind of threatens the board because they know that, oh, if I play this big creature, he might cast, or when the suspend comes off on Phthisis, they might cast it targeting this creature. I'm going to lose a bunch of life and my creature. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of scary for the whole board.
It's like, what's it called? The Vinryl's Disc. How it's just sitting on the board and everyone's just looking at it and they don't want to commit anything to the board because it's just sitting there ready to go off.
Yeah, it's like, because it has a sort of power because you can play whatever you want. Nothing's stopping you. You're just going to target something else.
But they don't want to play their 10-10 because then they're going to take 20 life when Phthisis comes out of the exile zone, or whatever it's called, when it's done with the ticking time bomb. I'd never heard of this card before. We were searching for cards for this episode.
Yeah, it's fairly interesting.
Is it the cheapest card on our list? Yeah, yes, it is. It's the cheapest card on our list. It's 10 cents from C13, so Commander 13. I've never seen this played. I've never heard of it. I probably would have remembered it because I would have remembered somebody trying to failing the but this. Okay, next up we have a red card, Repeated Reverberation. It's from M20. It's an instant, 2 red. Whenever you next cast an instant spell, cast a sorcery spell, or activate a loyalty ability this turn, copy that spell or ability twice. You may choose new targets from the copy. So, this is crazy. Normally, when we do copy effects, you're paying like 2 mana and you're copying something. We can pay 4 mana and it's like 2 forks stapled onto each other.
Yeah, this is really interesting because not only is copying a spell like this twice, like an important spell twice, super strong. That third option to copy a loyalty ability, so cool. That's just really interesting because there's a lot of planeswalkers in the game. So if you're playing a red deck and you have some sort of Chandra ultimate you can do, you can turn it from, oh, you're going to take 10 damage this turn to, oh, you're going to take 30 damage. And that's getting really close to just threatening someone's life total and
imagine
taking them out of the
game. Imagine doing that on an ultimate.
That would be quite a lot, to say the
so,
least.
Well, I don't think when you copy the loyalty ability, I don't think it gets the loyalty.
No, it does not, because
yeah, it doesn't get new loyalty. It's just copying the ability.
Yeah, this
so
is
that's
kind of
worth noting.
A rules thing. So, with planeswalkers, when you activate a loyalty ability, adding or subtracting the loyalty is part of the cost. Like mm-hmm. how sacrificing a creature is part of a cost in some spells or abilities. And then upon resolution, that ability
then
is
the, ability triggers.
The
yeah.
thing. Yeah.
So I'm reading the rulings on this card in the Gatherer, and it has to talk about what happens if you cast 4 repeated reverberations. And if you cast 4 repeated reverberations in a row, it'll copy the next spell or ability 30 times, because that's going to happen.
If you have 16 mana. Grape Shot.
Yeah, I like that. I like that idea. I like that a lot.
That's outrageous.
Each one copies on the second one. So it's 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 all the way to 30. Yeah, that sounds fun. It's okay, that's my new mono red dream. That's how I'm going to win in mono red one day.
It's a lot of passive.
I'm going to cast 4 repeated reverberations. We can't play 4 repeated reverberations. We're playing Commander. We can only play 1.
Well, you can play repeated reverberation, past in flames, repeated reverberation. I don't know.
Oh, a call to mind, repeated reverberation. Okay.
We're
in magical Christmas land. In magical Christmas land, yeah.
So
Shifting Shadow.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 and a red. It's an enchantment aura. Enchant creature. Enchanted creature has haste. And at the beginning of your upkeep, destroy this creature. Then flip cards off the top of your library until you reveal another creature. Put it onto the battlefield, and then attach Shifting Shadow to it.
Yeah.
That's a lot of interesting words.
A lot of words, but what do they mean? So this is really interesting. And so not only is this very interesting in that it allows you to really flip through your deck really fast and get through creatures, it gives a creature haste and gives you an ability to attack with the creature once. So Shifting Shadow is a deck that you can really build a deck around in that you can have a bunch of creatures that have some sort of on-attack ability, like an Ilharg, or when it deals combat damage, like an Ilharg the Razeboar deck. So it's just very interesting. It also allows you to have some sort of...
This would be good with Kiki Jiki and Zealous Conscript.
You could say that.
So you have a bunch of artifacts that turn into creatures, and then you attach... Well, you turn it into a creature, then you attach the shadow to it, and then the Shifting Shadow destroys it at the beginning of your upkeep, and then it goes and it grabs the only creature, other creature in your deck, which is Zealous Conscript, which then goes infinite with your commander, Kiki Jiki. That seems like a cruel deck.
Yeah.
Seems pretty good.
You just need a way to get some creature, like with like Dwarven Mine or something, which, yeah, you know, is pretty plausible.
I hate this word again. We just tried to choose the worst names. That's our new podcast. 25 worst named creatures in Magic.
One Bully Beast Tracker.
There we go.
Perfect.
One green. It's a creature human scout. When it enters the battlefield, search your library for a creature with Death Touch, Hexproof, Reach, or Trample. Reveal it. Put it on top of your library.
Yeah, it's a 2/1 human scout. So this is a really cool card. It's 3 mana for tutoring for a card with, you know, there's a lot of choices for abilities there. Death Touch, Hexproof, Reach, or Trample is a lot of choices, and it can be really good as like a toolbox card for only 3 mana, let me point out. Yeah, it just seems like a very undervalued card. It kind of has the same body as of Eternal Witness, and it can act as a similar kind of concept of retrieving a card for you. And, you know, if you're playing a deck that wants to have a lot of keywords and that kind of thing, then this is kind of really good for that. Kind of does exactly what you want to have in your deck.
Yeah. So it's like you can grab your budget Craterhoof Behemoth and raise Forerunners.
Yep.
Or I think Decimator of the Provinces also has Trample. That's the other big thing that can close out games. You can also grab... Oh, it doesn't say Vigilance. Oh, okay, never mind. You can grab... So it's a toolbox card. You can go grab like Arasta of the Endless Web.
There's just a lot of choices and a lot of options for what you can do there. So
Hexproof, you can get like Dream Trawler or something big.
Yeah, it's just a really versatile card, and you know, a 2/1 for 3 mana isn't great, but if you need to, you can do it. You can just play a 3 mana 2/1. It's not what you want to
do. It's 14 cents. It's like, yeah. How many tutors do you know that are 14 cents? Not a lot. Yeah. Okay, you want to go ahead and do our next one?
Yeah, sure. So our next card is Gutter Grime. Gutter Grime is 4 and a green for an enchantment. It says, whenever a non-token creature you control dies, put a slime counter on Gutter Grime, then put a green ooze creature token onto the battlefield with this creature's power and toughness are each equal to the number of slime counters on Gutter Grime.
So it progresses normally like so. Your first creature dies, you make a 1-1 ooze. Your second creature dies, you make a 2-2 ooze. Your third creature dies, oh, the non-token, but your third creature dies, you make a third ooze. So every time one of your creatures dies, you're making more and more and larger oozes. 1-1, 2-2, 3-3, and then 4-4 and 5-5.
Yeah, this can just be a crazy card, especially in some decks like or that are trying to have your creatures die and reanimate them, like Merrin.
Yeah, this would be great in Merrin. Great budget.
Yeah, and it also gives...
Except Merrin is not budget, but...
It also gives you some resiliency against board wipes, which is pretty useful because you can get a lot of triggers and you can build yourself back up and have still a pretty scary board state after a board wipe if you have this card out.
Yeah. No, this is an overall really good card.
Yeah, just seems pretty versatile. And for 5 mana, you know, it's not that pricey. Most cards that have enchantments that have strong abilities like this are usually up at like 6 or 7 mana, but this is just a pretty versatile, pretty good card.
Yeah, most of these effects are also in like black that have whenever creature dies triggers. What other commanders do you think would like this?
Well, I think just like
Planeswalker Vanifar would like this.
Yeah, Golgari reanimation type commanders like Jirad, Golgari Lich Lord,
yeah.
Or like
Skullbriar.
Azoni, a 1,000 died, or that kind of thing.
Yeah, there's lots of cards that want to do with... This wouldn't actually be bad in your Muldrotha deck.
Yeah, I have Muldrotha deck, and it wouldn't necessarily be bad, because it does give me a lot of tokens and some blockers if I were to ever need to block something.
Well, you never need to block anything, because there's no creatures on the board when you're playing against that deck, so... Anyways... Next one up, I think this one's kind of well known. I don't know. I've heard of this card before, but it's an interesting card, really interesting. Next up is Palliation Accord. We're moving into some two colored cards, and Palliation Accord is an enchantment from Dissension, so a really old card. It's an enchantment with whenever a creature. An opponent controls becomes tapped. Put a shield counter on Palliation Accord. And remove a shield counter from Palliation Accord. Prevent the next one damage that would be dealt to you this turn.
So yeah.
This one's interesting because against 1-1 tokens, they just bounce off. Because they all become tapped and then you remove all the shield counters and then it does nothing.
Yes, this is really cool. Notably, it does not say attacking you. It just says becomes tapped. So if you can have your opponents fighting, you're just pillow forting up. You can get like, you know, 50 or 100, 100 shield counters. And then you have an 100, essentially an extra 100 life. So it's just a very strong card because it can essentially read whenever a creature your opponent controls becomes tapped. You gain 1 life because you can prevent that 1 damage that would be dealt to you and you would lose. So it's a very strong card in just in general.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's a fun card. I don't personally play it in any decks, but I think I should. I should put this in my rune deck. It would be good in my rune deck.
Yeah, I think so. Next, why don't we talk about Rakdos? So the card is Bedazzle. So it's a split card. So Bedek is 2 Rakdos hybrid mana. So you can play any combination of 2 black or 2 red mana. And it's an instant. And it says target creature gets +3/-3 until end of turn. So this half is kind of like Spatial Contortion is the card.
Spatial Contortion, yeah.
Yeah, so Spatial Contortion is a card played in some decks like Tron, and it's just a very strong card because -3 for 2 mana is pretty strong, and that a lot of creatures in formats do not have more than 3 toughness. And if they do, then they're just large creatures that can't be dealt
less
with.
Less in modern, because 3 toughness is bold bait. But
yeah.
You either want to get to like 1 toughness or 4 toughness in modern, because of the prevalence of Lightning Bolt in the format.
Yeah.
But yeah, the deck is good. And wait, did you go over the Bedazzle part?
No, I did not.
So Bedazzle is the other side, and this is one of the newer split cards. So you can't cast both sides because it doesn't have fuse. You can only cast one of the sides. And the other side is Bedazzle. It's 4 black and red. An instant. Destroy target non-basic land. Bedazzle deals 2 damage to target opponent or planeswalker. This one's less relevant, but it gives us another option, because sometimes there are scary non-basic lands in a format. Dark Depths, Cabal Coffers.
Glacial Chasm.
Glacial Chasm, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, so it being an instant speed is actually pretty interesting. The ability to destroy non-land cards at instant speed is pretty cool, because, for example, if a card has an enters the battlefield trigger, a land does, you can destroy that land in response to the enters the battlefield trigger or something like that.
It goes on the stack, so it still resolves afterwards.
Yeah, but nonetheless, you can still destroy that land if it was going to...
It's better when... So they still get to hold priority and tap it for mana, but they don't get it afterwards. So, like, if they have it on a previous turn and you can see all of their mana and they're gearing up to play a giant World Spine Worm with their Gaia's Cradle, then you can nuke their Gaia's Cradle with the Bedazzle.
Yeah, precisely. So it's just a pretty versatile card in that it can do early game stuff and get rid of creatures, or in the late game it can do some more powerful things.
Let's move to Boros.
Sure.
Noblest of War is... Boros Hybrid, it's 5 Boros Hybrid manas, which means you can either pay red or white for each of those mana symbols. So you need to pay 5 mana into it, and all of it needs to be either red or white. It's a creature, spirit, avatar, a 3/4, and attacking creatures you control get +2/+0. So pumps your whole team every time you attack.
Yeah.
I don't know why this one's flying so far under the radar. I think this is like a criminally underplayed card, especially in Boros decks, when your main game plan is get lots of creatures and attack with them and kill your opponent. I think this definitely needs to be played much more than it is currently.
Yeah, I think it's a very, very strong ability.
Yeah, and the other members of this cycle are being played. Mokfiend Liege. No, not Mokfiend Liege. Wrong cycle. Divinity of Pride. Deus of Calamity. Those ones are getting played.
Yes.
Divinity of Pride is the big one from this cycle.
Yeah, so I mean...
But yeah, I don't know why this one isn't getting played more. Right?
Yeah, even if you're playing some kind of, like, Mardu deck or Jeskai deck, if you're playing Jeskai tokens is really good, because it just pumps up your whole board, and it's just a very strong card.
Jeskai tokens with Kaikar.
Yeah, Kaikar.
Yeah, this would be really good in a Kaikar deck, because it's making all your spirits into 3 ones.
All right, so next, do you want to... Let's go
to Dimir.
Sure.
So, Lochmere Serpent.
Yep, so Lochmere Serpent is 4, a blue and a black. For a 7/7 creature serpent, it has flash, and it has a lot of activated abilities here. It says, blue and sacrifice an island. Lochmere Serpent can't be blocked this turn. It says, black and sacrifice a swamp, you gain 1 life and draw a card. It says, blue-black, exile 5 target cards from an opponent's graveyard, return Lochmere Serpent from your graveyard to your hand. Activate this ability only any time you could cast a sorcery.
Yeah, this was like the best, or one of the best rares in Theros Beyond Death draft. But now, Oh, did I say Theros Beyond Death? Eldraine. My bad. No, okay. Throne of Eldraine. I've done that now twice, where I mix up Throne of Eldraine and Theros Beyond Death. Anyways, bomb rare. Total bomb rare. This ended so many games. But now everyone, I guess, has forgotten about it. Now it's just like bulk chaff.
Not only good and limited.
Yeah, it's an 18-cent code now, but Flash is big. It could flash in, eat someone's commander, do other things. And all of its abilities, not the last one, but its top two abilities are also instant speed.
Yeah, I think that second ability is pretty interesting. It allows you to, yeah, if you're going to kind of mana swamp, then you have the ability to sacrifice some of those lands and draw cards, or gain life if you need to. And it's resilient in that you can continue to draw cards, and it really just can't be dealt with.
Yeah, it has a repeatable effect, and it returns to your hand, and you can keep on recurring it unless they exile it, as long as they have cards in their graveyard, which is big because we're just in Theros right now. Theros cards are being played a bunch, so everyone has cards in their graveyard. If your opponent's playing Uro or Kroxa and they're trying to reanimate their stuff, they're trying to bring back their commander from the graveyard, but you're constantly exiling their graveyard with Lockmere Serpent, this can turn into a really great engine. It's an engine within itself. I think it's a really good card that's not being played enough.
Yeah, it really does just do a lot of work in games and allows you to really grind through games. It's really strong.
Also worth noting, we took all of these cards from when we did our Scryfall search, we went down 25 cards to make sure we weren't picking cards that are like played a lot. So these are all underplayed cards that aren't being played a lot and are beneath the top 25 cards, under 25 cents.
So 25 under 25.
Yeah, that's too long to name the episode, but yeah, that's the full idea. Spiritmonger. 3, a black and a green. It's a creature beast. Whenever Spiritmonger deals damage to a creature, put a 1/1 counter on it. Pay black. Regenerate Spiritmonger. And then green. Spiritmonger becomes the color of your choice until end of turn. I'm not really sure why that would be relevant.
Back in the old days, they did stuff like that.
Yeah, they did a bunch of color stuff like that. I guess if your opponent's trying to cast, like, Noxious Grasp on it or something, then you turn it into I don't know. I don't think that comes up. Regenerate is a retired keyword. They don't use it anymore. But how it works is when you regenerate something, the next time it would die this turn, you instead remove it from combat, take all damage off of it, and then tap it. So you can't regenerate it if it gets exiled. But if you're trying to like cast Motor on it, then you can regenerate Spiritmonger. Yeah, so that's a relevant clause. It's really hard to kill.
Yeah, it's 5 mana for a 6/6 that can really just consistently deal damage. And it's very hard to kill creatures like that that can just be regenerated for such a little cost.
Gruul is next in alphabetical order. Killer Instinct.
Killer Instinct is 4, a green and a red for an enchantment. It says, at the beginning of your upkeep, reveal the top card of your library. If it's a creature card, put it into play. That creature gains haste until end of turn. Sacrifice it at end of turn.
This is so cool. You're just flipping stuff. This is budget-looking predators, I guess. That's how I would best describe it. You're putting... It's like Ilhog, but it's from your library, and you're just flipping stuff off the top of your library, and you're hoping to hit something giant, like, I don't know, I keep on using the example of World Spine Worm.
I mean, but that's a 15-15, but yeah, so Gruul Big Creatures is a fair archetype.
No, but that would actually be like Magical Christmas Land, because then when it dies, it splits off into the 3/5/5 worms.
Oh, yeah. That's...
So it leaves behind in its wake.
And then you enchant it with... With Shifting Shadow, and then you...
Shifting Shadow!
You get the other half of your Kiki Jiki combo.
And then we win 25 times. Yes. Okay, next card is... Where is it? Oh, there it is. Okay, Orzhov. Ghost Council of Orzhova. White, white, black, black. Legendary creature spirit, 4/4. When Ghost Council of Orzhova enters the battlefield, target opponent loses 1 life and you gain 1 life. So you drain them for 1. 1, pay 1 and sacrifice a creature. Exile Ghost Council of Orzhova and return it to the battlefield. under Vitzolix's control at the beginning of the next end step.
Yeah,
so this is an interesting card. It's like it's a sacrifice outlet. That's why we're playing it. And it also protects itself.
Yeah, that is true. It's very good in strategies that kind of want to sacrifice their own creatures and drain your opponents. And that not only is it a sacrifice outlet, it allows you to just get a little bit of chip damage in along the way. So it's just a pretty versatile card. And it's very hard to kill with that flicker ability.
Yeah, so it survives the board wipe. That's, I guess, the idea. Next, we've got Rakdos. Oh, we already did Rakdos. Let's move on to Selesnya then.
So Selesnya is Pollen Bright Wings.
It's four green and a white, an enchantment aura. Enchant creature, enchanted creature has flying. Whenever enchanted creature deals combat damage to a player, create that many 1/1 green sapperling creature tokens.
Yeah, so this is kind of like Hornet Nest. And that has this...
It's reverse Hornet Nest.
Yeah, reverse Hornet Nest, you could say. So this allows you to attach this aura to a big creature and just create so many sapperling tokens and just overwhelm the board entirely.
And it gives it evasion, too, so it...
Yeah, so it's flying, hard to block. Chances are it's going to collide with the opponent... Or connect with the opponent.
Collide with the opponent.
Okay, no. It's cookies all over again.
It's cookies.
Okay.
No one understands the cookies joke.
So what was I saying? You can connect with an opponent
we're keeping that in there. I don't care. We're keeping that in there.
You can.
Anyways, yeah, this is just a great card.
Yeah, you can just get a lot of tokens and do a lot of things in Selesnya with this card.
What are good commanders for that work well with this card?
Tristani. Tristanis are very good.
Tristani, Discord, Tristani, Selesnya voice. Yeah, it's good with those. Although Tristani, Selesnya's voice is more of a get one big token and then start populating it.
Yeah.
But there's lots of go wide. Imara Tandris, that would be a very good.
Sisse's Legacy, that kind of thing.
A Shanna deck. It wasn't very good.
There's just a lot of really good Selesnya token commanders.
Yeah, so this is just I think you can play this in most Selesnya decks.
So now let's talk about Simic.
Yeah, let's move to Simic. And why do you always give me the hard to pronounce words?
I got it.
Omnibian. I did it. Omnibian.
It's a beautiful card.
It's frog with three eyes. It's a creature frog. It's a 3/3. And as tap, target creature becomes a frog with base power and toughness until end of turn.
It's Oko all over again.
Except it doesn't lose all abilities, which would have been nice.
No, frog.
But it's funny because this has so many uses. You could turn your 1/1 into a 3/3 frog.
Shuts down a lot of strategies.
You can turn their giant monstrous Colossus of Akros into a frog. I think this is good in depth,
I think it's good in a lot of decks. I think it's good in token decks. Yeah, it's
good in a lot of decks. Token decks.
Just a generally good card.
Yeah, if they have trouble dealing with large creatures, then...
It's also really good in Frog Tribal.
Frog Tribal? Is there a Frog Tribal Commander? Oh, there's an Everything Tribal Commander now. It's Morphon. Morphon. New Tribal Everything. Okay, that does it for our two colored cards. Now we're going to talk about some other cards.
Weird, other kind of nifty cards. So here, weird. I'm going to talk about a four-color card really quick.
This is
Glint Eye Nephilim.
This dude looks so scary. He has like an eye on his chest and an eye on his head.
He has two eyes. What's wrong with that?
They're like on top of each other.
I don't judge.
His ears are like as long as his torso.
I thought those were hands.
Whatever. Are those hands?
Looks like lobster hands. No, does he have eyes on his hands? Whatever.
I don't know. It still looks like me when I wake up in the morning.
It's a 2/2 creature Nephilim. and it costs a blue, a black, a red, and a green. So it's a very restrictive cost. So you'd better hope that it has some good abilities. And it does. It says, whenever Glint Eye Nephilim deals combat damage to a player, draw that many cards. Also has one, and discard a card. Glint Eye Nephilim gets +1/+1 until end of turn.
This is great. Just pump it up. Anything that pumps it. They should have made this called Legendary. Sad. But anyways, anything that draws you cards is good with this card. Anything that pumps your creatures is good with this card. What commanders do you think this would be good with?
I don't know. 4 or 5 color commanders?
I think anything that's a 4 or 5 color commander. What's the 4-colored commander that would line up with this? Yidris?
Yes.
Yidris. Would this be good with Yidris? Yidris is the Cascade dude.
I would assume so. It's just a very strong card that allows you to draw a lot of cards and really filter through your deck very fast, which is a strong ability.
Yeah, if you like drawing cards like me, I love drawing cards. As displayed in the last episode.
Who doesn't
episode.
Like drawing cards?
You? I don't know.
I like putting cards in my graveyard.
Yeah. Charlie is the resident graveyard player. Graveyard everything player. I like playing Sentinel Totem.
Would you like to talk about our next card here?
Yeah, so we've got a 3-colored code. Modu Ascendancy. Red, white, and black. Enchantment. Whenever a non-token creature you control attacks, put a 1/1 red goblin creature token onto the battlefield tap and attack it. Sacrifice Modu Ascendancy. Creatures you control get +0/+3 until end of turn.
Yeah, so this is for the fabled Mardu Goblins deck with Nobilis of War.
Modu Goblins. Zogo Helm Smasher. Modu Goblins.
Yeah, so this is just a very strong card for only 3 mana. Creating a goblin every time you attack with an untamed creature like that is a very relevant ability. And just churning out goblins is just very strong. And that sacrifice clause can be really good against some damage-based board wipes. Not quite cards that will deal 13 damage. But
yeah, but like Anger of the Gods and stuff like that.
Yeah, can get around Anger of the Gods perfectly.
Toxic Deluge?
That is good. You can make your opponents pay a little more life just to make them play around the Mardu Ascendancy. It's good.
Okay, yeah, let's move on to a land.
Sure.
The only land on our list, but Zoetic. All of the hard
Zoetic
pronunciations.
Cavern.
Zoetic? Zoetic. Zoetic.
Zoetic. Zoetic.
Zoetic.
I don't know. It's Zoetic a land. Cavern. It has tap, add colorless to your mana pool, so it's a colorless land, but it has morph, so you can cast it face down as a 2/2 creature for 3, turn it face up any time for its morph cost. So this is pretty cool.
The first time I saw this, I thought this was bad. I'm like, this is terrible. Why would anyone want a morph land? And then I realized that it actually ramp you.
Yeah, not only does this ramp you, having a 2/2 for 3 that you can make a land is not that bad. It's pretty versatile, and if you need a 2/2, you can have it, and if you need a land, you can also have that.
It's great in Kadena.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's talk about the 2-colored card that we forgot about. I'm sorry, Brutal Expulsion. I'm sorry that we forgot about you.
We're very sorry.
Let's talk about you now. Instant, 2 red and a blue. Choose one or both. It has Devoid.
It's just
Izzet. I messed that up. It's always that card, but it has Devoid, which means it has no color. It has choose one or both. Return target spell or creature to its owner's hand. Or
Brutal Expulsion deals 2 damage to target creature or planeswalker. If that permanent would be put into a graveyard this turn, exile it instead.
You can do both of these. It's great. It's fun. It's remove 2 things potentially.
Yeah.
Hooray. That's why it's good. And that's why we think it should be played more.
Yeah, it's just a strong ability. Being able to bounce a spell and destroy a creature is a very strong tempo play, and although tempo is not that much of a thing in Commander, it's still just a lot of value. It's a 2-for-1, so 2-for-1s are always good.
It's do an artifact, God Pharaoh's Statue. It's a 6-mana legendary artifact. I played against this card and I immediately hated it, and then I was like, hey, I should play this more. Spells your opponents cast cost 2 more to cast. At the beginning of your end step, each opponent loses 1 life. The only downside to this is, like, it's not written on the card, it's just that everyone plays a ton of artifact removal, and you're spending 6 mana on this thing, and it's going to draw a lot of hate. It's a commitment, but if you can protect it with things like Padine or Indomitable Archangel.
Yeah, so if you can get this card to stick, it just makes such attacks, and it's just terrible on top of a lot of other cards that can do stuff like that, like Grand Arbiter, Augustine the Fourth. It's just really painful to pay 3 extra mana with Grand Arbiter for all your spells. It's no fun, to be honest.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to do, and it's especially painful for the people playing, like, anything that involves lots and lots of small spells. I feel for the Edric Flying Men.
That's what I was thinking.
Deck. Yeah, Edric Flying Men.
I'll play my 3 and a blue for Flying Man.
If you ever see, this is definitely a go-to card if your meta has, or your play group has, lots and lots of small swarm decks, like Artifact, Joyrug, Eggs,
yeah,
Cookies. No, never mind. That's a dead joke that didn't actually get released. But whatever. No one understands the cookie joke. Okay. We'll tell people about the cookie joke sometime. Whatever.
Maybe in the future.
Next up, Aeon Engine. It's a 5-mana artifact. Go ahead.
So it's 5 mana, again. It's an artifact. It enters the battlefield tapped, and it has tap and exile Aeon Engine. Reverse the game's turn order.
This is such a weird card.
Very weird.
It's so weird.
As weird as it may be, it's very strong. This is 5 mana, and reversing the game's turn order is sort of like taking an extra turn.
Yeah, because you let you untap, you let the person after you take their turn.
And then you reverse it, so you essentially let one other person take a turn, and then you get an extra turn. So it's very strong, and as a colorless artifact that can be played in any deck, such as like a mono green deck that can really take advantage of having an extra turn of sorts, it's just very strong to have.
No, this is a good card. This is a very good card.
Yeah. I believe that is all.
Any other closing words that you have?
No, I think that concludes it.
Yeah, well, thank you everyone for coming on and listening. Again, very new for us. I believe this is going to end up being the 2nd episode. And yeah, have a nice day, everyone.
See ya.